Oh no. I'm hearing a big echo. You're good now? Okay, good. Okay, 3, 2, 1. Hey everybody, welcome back to the Film Fund Podcast. I'm your host, founder and executive producer at the Film Fund, Thomas Verdi. I'm also an award-winning filmmaker, producer, and film festival judge. I started the Film Fund to give artists and filmmakers an easier, alternative way to get their film funded. Instead of working on an intensive screenplay, crowdfunding campaign, or grant application, you write one sentence pitching your film for a chance to receive up to $10,000 and other prizes to make it. Our most recent fall 2020 contest is now over. We want to thank all of the people who submitted and remind you that contests do happen regularly. So if you are listening at a later date, check the website at thefilmfund.co for the most up-to-date information. Today we have Devin Dixon and Sharique LeMay from Binge Wave. Hope I'm pronouncing that right. To the audience. I wrote to the audience. My notes say introduce them to the audience. Well, I'm introducing you to the audience now. They work at Binge Wave, which is the new movie-going experience designed just for you, is the tagline. Super exciting. I'll let them talk a little bit more about what Binge Wave is, their backgrounds, and thanks for coming. Really appreciate you talking with us today.
Thank you for having us. This is exciting.
Definitely. So who wants to go first?
I guess I'll kick it off. My name's Devin, CEO of Binge Wave. And since COVID, we've become a premier platform for new content where they can get the screener stuff first, earn some revenue, engage with their loyal fan base, and then pass it on to other services like YouTube, Amazon Prime, and so forth. We've had a lot of success both in short films, web series, features to film festivals. So we run the gambit during COVID.
That's great, Devin. Since this is not live, I am going to ask if we can pause a sec. Could we try it maybe without the headphones? It might be a little bit better in terms of the echo. I'm so sorry.
I'm so sorry to
keep doing this back and forth.
3, 2, 1. 2, 1. How's this?
That's worse. Could you switch back? Okay, let's just keep going. Wait for that feedback to hopefully stop. You know, could you try one thing? Could you try leaving and coming back in? Sometimes that might fix it. Were you hearing really bad feedback on your end?
Not before. He just unplugged it. He is in a very echoey location. Yeah. So I think that's what it is.
Yeah, I was hearing a lot of
feedback.
Yeah, feedback.
Oh, okay. Yeah, no, I didn't hear that.
Interesting. Must be from just my feed. Wonder if... Hey, Devin, you there?
Yeah, I'm here.
Okay, so sorry about that. Seems like the feedback's gone. On my end, I was getting a lot of feedback, just like this very high-pitched frequency sound. But let's just, everything seems like it's good now, and we are still recording.
All right, how's my feedback?
It's gone. You sound actually good now.
Good. I actually switched a different app. I said, this time, not use Echo. I'm using this computer once.
So. Okay, great. Awesome. Thank you so much for being patient. I will just take, if you don't mind repeating just what you did, I'll just say thank you so much for coming and we can go into it again. Sound good?
Sure.
Okay, great. 3, 2, 1. Thank you so much for coming. Devin, do you want to go ahead?
Yeah. So hi, my name is Devin. I'm the CEO of Binge Wave, and we are a premier platform for new content where they can screen their stuff online first, make some money, engage with their fans, and then have it be on YouTube, Amazon Prime, and so forth. It's really echoey.
Very cool. Yeah, it is pretty echoey. Honestly, I think we might just have to, maybe we can fix it in post. As they
Will it work with, how should we, how's your echo?
I don't hear an echo on my end. So I do hear yours.
Would it work if just Shariq then just talked about it?
Yeah, you just want to have your video?
No. Just have, if I'm going to echo, do I mean, you just have Shariq do all the talking?
Yeah, we could do that.
Okay. And that'll probably make it sound better.
And you'll just, well, we can still include your video here on the output for sure.
Sure. I'll be the silent like mime partner.
Yeah. Sounds good. I'm sorry about that.
No problem. All right. So I'm gonna mute myself.
Okay. Yeah, that would probably be good. Okay. So this has been the most interesting podcast so far that I've done. I don't know what's going on. We're having some technical difficulties with Devin's mic. He is going to opt out, I guess we can say, of speaking, so we have a better audio feed. But he's still hanging in here with the video. Silent.
It's just funny because like Bendwave, people come on. It's like always that one person has issues with like the video.
Right.
Now I'm that person who's having issues. So
it's all like comes full circle. Yeah. Oh my gosh. Well, here we go. So Shariq, what is Bendwave about?
Yes. So Bendwave is a distribution platform where we allow the filmmakers to pretty much take control over the distribution of their film, albeit if it's a short film, web series, mini series, a documentary, or even, we have a lot of content creators that are doing, I would like to say the makeshift pilots or concept trailers, which have been kind of really, really prevalent within the last couple years or so. So pretty much what the filmmaker is able to do is host a screening. It's all live. We don't do any video on demand. So it is a live streaming platform. Think of it as like a movie theater. So you actually have tickets that are sold for a particular time. If you're 5 minutes late, you're 5 minutes late. What's really also cool about our platform is it's all inclusive. So we have a chat room on one side. You also have the ability to do a live Q&A with video conferencing, such as what we're doing now.
That's so interesting. We don't have too many technical difficulties. You were really positioned well for the pandemic then.
Well, funny story. We kind of positioned ourselves for the pandemic. We didn't initially start off with this business model. When I first came onto Bendwave 13 months ago, we started off as a pop-up screening platform where we allowed people to have their films be showcased at all types of locations, albeit a bar or a museum or any place that had the necessary technology to screen films. And then we had coordinators, who I was in charge of the coordinators. The coordinators would go and seek out the film, seek out the location. So we just had this melting pot of being able to have in-person screenings. But then COVID happened.
And Devin,
you know, being that he's the technology person, he was able to code the website and really we kind of put it together, not hastily, but pretty quick and got it done.
Bootstrapping.
Yeah, definitely.
Awesome. We do that at the Film Fund as well. It's fun, I guess you can say.
You say fun. I say other things.
You know, hey, in retrospect. Pulling your hair out. I wish I had a budget to hire a developer, but we have some developers that work, but yeah, it's startup life is always fun. But that's so incredible. You were able to pivot and take advantage of a horrible situation. It's been difficult. It's been great. You're able to create a platform for filmmakers to show their work online. And I like that it's live too, because I mean, everything is online now. But I think with the live screenings, you're able to capture some of that excitement of going to the movies again. Even though you're logging in, that's interesting. Talk to me a little about where the films come from. Where do you source the content from?
All over. I mean, because like I said, Devin already had established this platform even before I had come into play. He had relationships with filmmakers. Me being in the entertainment industry, I have relationships with filmmakers, but overall it's a self-serve platform also. So filmmakers who are seeking distribution, and of course we promote on social media, we're in a bunch of filmmaker groups and all of those things. So we have a community that we're very involved with and we like to engage with. So people find us, we find them, we seek out content, people seek us. And so it's a mutually beneficial process in order to get them onto the platform.
So, how you kind of answered this a little bit, but how does BingeWave help artists and filmmakers show their films in terms of distribution? It seems like it really helps get the word out.
Yeah, so, you know, we're different from like a Netflix or an Amazon or even a YouTube. A lot of people like to go ahead and put their content on YouTube, whereas YouTube, you know, they go based upon the streaming, whereas you can just sell your tickets up front. You set your price. You say, okay, this is what I want my ticket sales to be. You can even say, I want my film. We had one filmmaker who said, okay, I want to really run it as though I'm putting it in a theater. I want my films to show at this time every single day for a whole month. Mm-hmm. You know, and then he would let his audiences know, so they were able to buy tickets and go about it that way. Mm-hmm. It's also beneficial for them too, because they get a landing page. So you come onto the landing page, you can click on their IMDb if they have one, you can mm-hmm. see the trailer, you can learn more about them, and then they can see the movie, and then you can also chat and engage with them as well. I see Devin, he looks like he wants to say something.
Hey Tom, when I talk, can you mute yourself? I want to try something. Can you mute
yourself? Yeah, sure. Let's disable mic. I hope that doesn't do it permanently.
All right. Is there an echo now? Yes, there was a slight echo. Yeah. All right, never mind. I just wanted to try that. Sharik, if you mute, is there an echo? So 1, 2, 3, is there echo? Oh, wow. There's no echo at all. So if you both mute yourself, then I can talk. But Tom, you're talking and you're still muted, by the way.
Yeah, I just realized that. Can you say something now?
A, 1, 2, 3, ABC.
Okay, yeah, no echo. So it must be Sharik's laptop.
Sharik, you're the culprit. You're the problem, Sharik.
Oh, I told you I don't usually use microphones with mine.
Sharik, if you could, would you be able to hit that mute button?
You're going to put me to work now, huh?
You're talking? Yeah, our guests are, it's an interactive show. That's what we're
saying. That's okay. You figure it out as we go along.
Yeah, this is the guy. Thank you for being so patient with this. I'm going to add this to our notes. If the guests are not speaking, ask them to be on mute. So it goes a little bit smoother.
All right. So all right. Let's jump back into it now that we know how to
Able
to
talk. Cool. Devin, tell me a little bit, but this is going to be fun editing this later. I kind of wish it was live so I didn't have to, but whatever.
You mean this is going to be awful.
Yeah.
I know.
I say fun when I mean awful and want to kill myself. So yeah, that'll be good. Christmas week or whatever. So yeah, tell me a little bit about how BingeWave is filmmaker friendly.
So we are specifically designed just for film. So there are other platforms out there people like to use, like people like to use Zoom for film screenings or like Eventbrite and things like that. But it's just not made for the filmmaker. Everything we do, from the uploading process to the metadata we have around the films, the how stuff is screened, you know, the DRM technology built in, it's all built just for filmmakers. And so the solution works really, really nice for them because of that.
I like that a lot. And as Sharik was saying earlier, it's so cool that BingeWave gives filmmakers their own landing page too. So it's just another marketing component they can add. You know, they can link from their website. You said they can link to their IMDb page. They can set their own ticket prices. That just sounds so, so great. And I know we talked in the past about partnering together and doing like a film fund block of shorts or something like that, some kind of screening event. Still very interested in that. But right now it seems like, you know, you said it's a self-serve platform as well. So if I have a short and I want to have an online screening event, I can just go to bingewave.com and set it up basically.
Yeah. Actually, we just had a short complete the run this past weekend. It was called The Stages of Love. It was about a 16-minute film. It was put together by like four amazing women to talk about, you know, the stages of love. It was like lust, and then it was like envy and other stages as well. And they ended up selling, you know, for their short film, like over 100 tickets. They made over like $350, you know, doing the premiere of their short film. So, you know, this is becoming like a new viable market. What Quibi is like failed at their short content, you know, we've been succeeding.
Oh my god. I was on mute. Oh my god. I might not even edit. I might just post it as is. This is pretty funny. Well, that's all great. What do you guys have in store for the future with Binge Wave? Are you, as the pandemic, let's say a vaccine comes out, people start to go to movie theaters again, are you still going to remain fully online?
Do you want to take this, Sharik, or I take it? All right. So what we're doing now, we're going to have a hybrid model where people can have both online and office screens at the same time. We actually, Sharik did an awesome interview last week with the filmmaker Josh Binnings. He had a premiere on the platform because he couldn't do it in theaters. And what one thing he harped on a lot is that this can be like a great platform for having your screening like in a theater, but at the same time reaching more people by having it online at the same time. So then that your audience can tune in from virtually as well, and then take part in like the director's Q&A that they're going to have like inside the theater too. So we see ourselves heading more towards like a hybrid model when it comes to film distribution, both online and offline.
As I mentioned, sometimes I like the website Short of the Week, if you've heard of them, and we actually link to Short of the Week on our website when we talk about online film distribution. We want people to put it online kind of as soon as possible. And they call their strategy Everywhere All at Once. So go ahead and do the in-person screenings, but also put it online so people can see it. So I think a hybrid model is very, very smart for the future, because people still want to go to the movie. Like, everyone loves film festivals. They're not going away. They're going to come back in a big way, I think. But I think combining that with the streaming technology and having a hybrid approach like you're talking about, I think is very, very smart.
Well, not just festivals, I mean, in anything, like premiering festivals to like feature films to the shorts. I mean, we live, as bad as COVID has been, it's created now a new global community where you have to recognize like you can reach anyone around the world at any time. It doesn't really matter like where you are. So, if you're going to premiere your film, why not have someone in England watch it too? If they're willing to, they want to stay up at different hours and like pay for it, that's more money for the filmmaker to make as well. So it's why not tap into those new audiences that can now take part in what you're doing instead of excluding them. It's a more inclusive world, I think, that we're going to be creating.
Absolutely. And in terms of audiences, where, say I'm a filmmaker and I want to put my film on Binge Wave and have an event, is it up to me to get my audience to watch on Binge Wave, or do you have an existing audience of people that want to watch indie film?
That's a great question. I think I'll take that one as the chief marketing officer. So we do provide a lot of tools and educational pieces. Devin is great at, we have a great Medium platform. So if you're on Medium, make sure you look up Binge Wave. A lot of really good case studies and articles on there in terms of us really going over how filmmakers who were successful, how they did it. We definitely promote social media marketing. We definitely promote other ways of engaging with other filmmakers and moviegoers. And then, of course, we do have our own following. When it comes to festivals, a lot of them already have an established fan base or people that go to their festivals. And with Josh, as an example, who I interviewed last week on our webinar, he already had people that had bought tickets to his premiere that was in person. So he just was able to capitalize on that existing audience base because they already were excited to see it. He already did the promoting. He already did the email blast and things that he needed to do. And so those people just naturally migrated over, but then he got an excess of people who through word of mouth, and because no one's doing anything right now, right? they wanted to come on and watch as well. So it's a mixture of them already having the knowledge base, us providing the knowledge, and then we do some marketing as well. So I've offered to help different filmmakers market their screenings, again, through social media, email blast, and other really good marketing tools and strategies.
That's great. Digital marketing is a huge component of being a filmmaker today. Is there an extra fee for those marketing services that you guys offer for filmmakers?
It depends. We have to, we have to have a consultation and see.
Sure, sure.
The short answer is it honestly does depend. Mm-hmm. you know, it has to be, like, again, mutually beneficial for everyone, of course. So if we see someone who really has a great film and we think there's great potential behind there, you know, maybe if we have some extra tools in the back of the bag we can throw at them, then, you know, why not? It helps them and it helps us at the same time. The more people watch their film, the more people go onto our platform. So we're definitely open to assisting in any way that we can. In terms of, like, being the hands-on person that's doing everything for you, we just definitely suggest certain tools that you can utilize on your own. And then we have an affiliate program, which we just launched officially a couple of days ago, which helps the filmmakers to engage with, you know, their community. If they have other cast members or other people who have good networks, they can do a revenue share, a revenue split based upon the ticket sales with those particular individuals that are promoting their film. So that was a really good tool that we're able to use on the platform as well. So everything's all inclusive.
That sounds great. That might be something, I mean, maybe to use the corporate buzzword I hate so much, offline, maybe we will speak offline about the affiliate program and how the Film Fund can maybe help get the word out about that as well. And talk to me about the types of films that premiere, or not even premiere, just stream on BingeWave. Do you focus on a particular genre or type of film? I know you said it's not a just film also. Did I hear that right?
Yeah. So when we first started, Devin had the great idea, you know, with the climate, with the racial inequalities that were happening. He said, you know, we should really have a festival that we put on ourselves to try out this model that was about social justice and social awareness and change, particularly as it pertains to the urban community. So that was a really big campaign that we really put forth. And then, of course, us being Black founders, you don't really see us too much in this space. That's something that we're very passionate about in terms of providing a platform for people like us who are underrepresented specifically in this space. So that's not what we focus on primarily, however. And we do engage with all sorts of films. We had horror, we have faith-based films, which really do pretty well on our platform as well. As we mentioned, the filmmaker I interviewed last week, his film was a faith-based film, which you don't typically see a lot of, you know, commotion about, but it did really, really well.
I was at, it's so interesting, faith-based films. I was at the NYU production lab. They had Stephen Follows presenting on, what was it called? It was like data-led indie film strategies. And it was about kind of the ROI of different return on investment, different for listeners out there who may be more on the creative side. But it was so interesting. Faith-based films were like, I don't remember the exact nugget of what, you know, the ROI was or what the whole thing, but they were I remember them doing very well. And I think it maybe has to do with their audiences being super passionate about what they're watching. You know, they're passionate about
the faith. I like to think of it like this too. If you look at Tyler Perry, for example, right? Tyler Perry, I know that's a trigger name in the film community, but he has a very strong faith-based community that stand behind him and they rally behind him. And then think about it too, they're not going to bootleg his movie because that would be a sin, right?
Right, that's a good point.
So they will very much so support based upon that. It's just woven into their belief system. So that they definitely perform very well. So I can definitely see the ROI on that being significant.
So actually I want to add on a few things but the points that you said. The first, you know, we do everything from web series to shorts to documentaries and to, you know, feature films. Now, as far as having, you know, like engaged audiences, what also does really well on our platform is documentaries, because documentaries, you know, they're about a topic that people are passionate about. When, you know, whether it's about like Black Lives Matter, whether it's about like abuse or like sex trafficking or things like that. These kind of films have built more into a passion about hearing, you know, those stories. And so for them, marketing is really, really easy because, you know, they just have built in audiences already. Also, as far as ROI and your comment on that, our films that we've screened have actually amazing ROI. It's literally like 90%, 100% of their money back. You know, like the film that Josh had, the faith-based one, you know, he spent only like $10, you know, to get the screening going, and he made like over 1,000. So it's like,
this is pretty good, you know. For the short film, you know, they spent I think like $60 and they made like close over 350. So it's like, okay, like we're now profitable in what we're doing. So that's a key point to actually think about, is
and that, you know, $10, that $60, where is that going? Is that going to online ads? Is that going to BingeWave? What is that upfront cost?
It goes to us so we can cover our hosting cost. What people don't know is that video hosting is quite expensive.
Oh, yes.
Yeah, I mean, we have a story where we almost actually shut down because of like, I got an Amazon bill and it was like $2,000.
Oh, my God.
I'm like, oh my God, like how do I pay this? So that's when we actually had to start like upping our prices for this to actually cover the cost. So that's where the cost really goes to.
But what you're getting is the audience that you say you already have. You do your own marketing for the films and the platform itself, right? So I mean, $10. I mean, that's completely reasonable in my opinion. If I'm a filmmaker, I mean, I definitely want to look at doing something with the film fund in terms of, you know, we have a lot of shorts currently on hiatus, I'll call it, because of COVID. They're just kind of lingering in pre-production / started production. But I mean, I have a film myself I produced a few years ago. Maybe I'll do a BingeWave screening of it. I mean, why not? That seems pretty damn cool to me.
And then I can interview you after.
Yeah, there you go. I like this. I like this a lot. Oh, I said very cool, but I was on mute again. Oh my God, the editing of this. I might not edit it. I might just say fuck it. And
I don't think you should. I think this is real life.
The echoey booming. Great. I want to do a shorter episode today. One last thing. I may have asked this already. What is in store for the future of BingeWave? Besides, I know you said hybrid model. Like super long term. What? Where do you guys want to be and how do you want to help filmmakers?
Well, for starters, Devin is working on Roku integration, which I'm really excited about. So that will just help to boost and amplify the platform. Overall, I think we just, like he said, we want to have this hybrid model. I still would love to still do our pop-up screenings once, you know, people are I'm in LA, so you know people are really acting crazy out here and not adhering to the regulations. So I really do look forward to being able to do in-person screenings as well. And I just see us long-term being that platform that really is notable for standing up for independent filmmakers. I've been a creative all my life, and so being able to take control and not have to utilize a middleman and have someone take all of my money and take the intellectual property from me. And, you know, it's comforting. And so I think that us really banking on that and being that model is in long-term and expanding and opening it up so that we can host big, large festivals and we can actually help filmmakers to create their films. That's where I really see us going.
Devin, do you want to weigh in on that at all?
No, she pretty much summed it up. You know, I mean, short term, you know, we're also expanding now to influencers, because we're finding influencers too can make like a lot of money before, you know, they go to YouTube. Because YouTube, you know, you got to have like thousands of views and YouTube pays out really slow. So with us, because we pay in like 14 days and with less traffic, it's like a win for them. Yeah, and just long term, you know, getting back into more of a hybrid model, in-person stuff, and really, you know, being the platform that people use to premiere their stuff first. You know, like before you go to Amazon Prime, before you go to YouTube, before you go to Instagram, you know, you want to work with us because we're going to really focus on your ROI, you know, first and forehand. And then, you know, put it out there, but, you know, work with us first.
Mm. So for short, like mine that I already threw up. That's not a great way of putting that. I already posted on, IGTV, Facebook Watch, Vimeo, all of those platforms. I could still use BingeWave though, correct?
Yes. So that's one of the things we really want to drive home when we're communicating with people is you can still use BingeWave and still go to YouTube or go to Amazon or wherever else. We really model ourselves on being the platform that you would probably go to first in order to premiere and have that engagement with your audience and be able to really maximize on that initial viewing, and then can leverage your engagement to potentially help you to get placed in other areas.
I think the best example I have of that was there's this documentary called This Little Light of Mine. It's 30 minutes long, and it's about a civil rights woman named Fannie Lou May. And it was on YouTube, but people still paid to see to watch the documentary and have a Q&A with the director afterwards. So it still is an option to do so, and people still can earn money even if publicly available. But we do encourage, you know, obviously the maximized revenue, you know, premiere it first, make it exclusive, and then put it out there.
Sure.
But both are doable.
Well, that all sounds great. Devin, Sharik, I want to thank you so much for coming on the podcast and for putting up with these technical difficulties we experienced early on in the show. Learned how to use a mute button today. That's one good thing that came out of this, besides all the amazing digital distribution tips for indie film. So BingeWave, if you have a short, if you haven't premiered it yet, check out BingeWave.com. You can get a real audience to watch your film, like a live screening. And even if you have premiered it, you can also do that as well. Digital distribution is changing the game for sure. And I want to remind everybody to stay tuned for the next Film Fund contest. Maybe we'll have a BingeWave prize or integration somehow. I don't know. We have to do some talking.
I'm down for that. I'm down for that for sure.
Let's do it. We just got to figure it out. But some of the prizes we had for this previous contest were Adobe Creative Cloud subscriptions, a post-production service from Maestro Filmworks, which is an amazing studio here in Philadelphia. They're doing a color grading prize. We had Kidsplit gift cards, get some equipment on your film, and we haven't announced how much yet, but an up to $10,000 prize for a couple of winners for the main prizes. If you are listening at a later date, we did close entries a few days ago and we're in the judging period, but we're having multiple contests next year. We're looking at doing 4 contests next year in 2021. So please, please go to thefilmfund.co to find the most up-to-date information. You can also go to thefilmfund.co/blog for great filmmaking and producing tips. Check that out. Sign up for the newsletter. Follow us on social. We're on Instagram, Facebook, Twitter, LinkedIn recently, as boring as it is. It has some helpful tips as we are professionals in the film industry and want to network. And follow us to find everything interesting about the Film Fund and discover new amazing companies like BingeWave. I want to thank everyone again for listening. Tune in every Friday, even this Friday, which is Christmas. We will be posting this episode. Probably should have mentioned that at the beginning of the podcast for whoever celebrates out there.
Is Christmas even happening? I don't know.
Oh my gosh, I don't even know. What a year. Sharik, Devin, do you have anything else to add before we wrap up?
No, just happy holidays, everyone. Stay safe, stay motivated, stay positive. That's it. Thank you.
Yes, so stay healthy.
Yes, everybody stay safe out there. Thank you, guys.
Oh, man, that mute button.